97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
Outside the house, Mr. Simpson announced that Sally couldn't go to the meeting. He went on cleaning his blue Rolls Royce and she ran inside a weeping. She got to a room and she splashed a picture of a new messiah. She picked up a book of her father's life and threw it on fire.
She knew from the start deep down in her heart that she and Tommy were worlds apart. But her mother said, never mind, your part is to be what you'll be.
All right, I am going to talk about Lazarus in the next segment, and it's going to be in a way that maybe you're not expecting. It's actually not related to anything in current events. Roy said, I can't wait to hear it. And so, Roy, thanks for listening. Here's my setup for that segment, which is coming up next, though. It's just a Facebook post that I saw that I've seen things like this before and thought about this myself, but it put it into words that I never really was able to. It just says, this blew up my mind. I'm just going to share it with you. It says, have you ever thought about this? In 100 years, for instance, 2123, we will all be buried with our relatives and friends. Strangers will live in our homes we fought so hard to build or buy, and they will own everything we have today. All our possessions will be unknown and unborn, including the car we spent a fortune on, and will probably be scrap metal at that point. Preferably, best case scenario, that car is in the hands of some collector who you don't know. Our descendants will hardly know who we were, if they know who we were at all, nor will they remember us. How many of us know our grandfather's father's father in some cases? Now, we live in a little bit different time. There's going to be more documentation of who we were than 100 years ago, but that is a good question to ask. How well do you know your ancestors that were alive in 1923? Do you even know who they were? After we die, we will be remembered for a few more years. Then we're just a portrait on somebody's bookshelf. And a few years after that, our history, our photos, our deeds will disappear into a cabinet at best, into history's oblivion. And we won't even really be memories anymore. If we pause one day to analyze these questions, perhaps we would understand how ignorant and weak the dream to achieve all was. Now, I don't necessarily buy into that conclusion from this. I understand what they're saying about material things, but the desire to achieve is a good thing. It's an eternal thing. It goes on, if we could only think about this, surely our approaches, our thoughts would change. We would be different people. Always having more, no time for what's really valuable in this life. I'd change all this to live and enjoy the walks I've never taken, the hugs I didn't give, these kisses for our children, our loved ones, the jokes we didn't have time for. Those would certainly be the most beautiful moments to remember. After all, they would fill our lives with joy. And we taste it day after day with greed, and intolerance. Now, the conclusions are a little suspect. The greed thing is probably true. Intolerance, I don't even know what that means anymore. But I definitely think it's worthwhile to think in 100 years, a lot of this is true. People won't remember you. You know, I'm happy to be doing a radio show, but are people going to be listening to the podcast in 100 years? No way. I mean, unless it's some random person doing a documentary about what it was like in 2023 in the Trump years or something, you know, I don't think that it'll happen. Even your relatives, kids, will probably not even know who you are in 100 years. So what are you living for? That's kind of the point that I take it from. This article, this post, takes different conclusions than I do, but I still think it's good facts, good things to consider. What is most important? What's happening in the moment is not always it. With that in mind, stick around for the segment that I'm going to have next. It's all about eternal things. And it's about Lazarus. All right, old Roy, how's your life?
Fantastic.
You want to tell me about it?
Not really.
Okay. Let's talk about the news.
Okay.
I got a few items I want to run by you here and just get your instant take.
Bring it.
On these things. The first one is a poll. I'm shuffling around a bunch of papers here. First one is a poll about President Trump versus President Biden.
Okay.
It's weird to be able to say that because you're basically talking about two different incumbents.
Right.
How often have we ever seen that happen in our lifetime? Zero times.
Correct.
This poll, though, is about unlikely voters, which sucks.
Okay.
Because you're talking about people who are probably not going to vote.
Right.
In a hypothetical 2024 matchup between those two candidates. Suffolk University, USA Today. By the way, you've probably seen this Wall Street Journal poll. It's amazing to me, as somebody who watches polls, how one random poll done at one random time will become the narrative. This Wall Street Journal poll that people have been talking about for over a week now that has President Biden and Trump tied at 46. Have you seen this?
No.
Then you haven't been paying attention because it is everywhere. Don't know why. Kilbean's been talking about it all week. Fox News has been talking about it. CNN's been talking about it. Everybody in the world has been talking about this same poll. And I'm like, there's a billion polls. Why that one? So anyway, that one aside, this is Suffolk University in USA Today. Polled 900 U.S. citizens 18 and older, which is a pretty normal number. It's a little low, but that's pretty normal. About half of whom are registered to vote. While the poll found respondents preferred Trump over Biden, more voted for either other or undecided, which means that people at this stage, given a binary choice, are not making a choice. They're just saying, well, I'm not participating. But the point of bringing this up is not that. It's that when they asked who they would lean to at this time, and this is among the unregistered vote, like the unlikely to vote people, 15% said Biden, 27% said Trump, and 28% said other. So when you talk about people who are unlikely voters, Trump is beating Biden almost double, 2-1. If you factor in the other people who are just going, I don't care about any of them, just throw all the politicians out.
Yes.
Then you're talking about another bunch of people who you don't know. Those people probably literally will not vote.
Right.
But among undecided / unregistered unlikely voters, Trump is killing Biden. What does that mean? Like I said, quick takes here from Old Roy. What does that mean for 2024?
I don't think it means much of anything. I know you love the polls, and but what you started with is the same reason I don't really like polls, because you can pick your narrative, and you can even manufacture the results you want with clever questioning and phrasing,
or waiting, depending if the poll itself is wanting to wait it a certain way, they can.
Who did this one that you're talking about?
This is Suffolk University, USA Today. And some are better than others, but I like looking at averages. This one was just interesting because it was talking about unlikely voters.
Well, I think I could be wrong, but my guess would be that was intended to find another narrative. Let's find people who don't care and see if we can get Biden closer. You know, it's like the Wall Street Journal one. It's there's no reason to talk about that. If it's an isolated poll that is nowhere near any other poll.
Well, I think that this one isn't an outlier. I think it's just that the story in this one is that they highlighted, because all polls are doing this. They're looking at, they're just asking people, are you registered or not? You know, and then who are you likely to vote for? This one just found something among, and published, because a lot of them don't publish this stuff. They publish the results of the poll. This one said, oh, there's something weird here that we found that we're going to publish. They all do it. This one just highlighted it. That the unlikely voters are breaking hard for Trump.
Well, I'd like to read something into that, but...
Nothing.
It's hard. It sounds... What I'm picturing is... All right, I'm calling you. Hey, person... Do you think that you like colors? I don't care. Okay, well, if you had to, would you like red or blue? I really don't care. Okay, but if you really had to, gun to your head, I don't know, blue. You know, that's what I'm picturing with this poll, is that these people clearly aren't engaged, and they've told you they're not engaged, and then you're forcing them to give you an answer. I guess that creates the interesting dynamic of at least people superficially and subconsciously are hearing the names Trump and Biden, and they're, I guess, leaning,
shrugging toward one.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, as far as hot takes go, that's a pretty good one, Roy.
Well, I tried.
I expected there to be some analysis in a different direction, but you have analyzed that poll actually pretty well.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Now, let me tell you where I analyze it.
Okay. Where you wished I would have.
Yeah, this is where I thought, oh, maybe you'll go there. But no, that was great, because it's very true. There are a lot of people in this country who don't really want to participate in this.
Right.
And that means that this is going to be a turnout election. It's not going to be a referendum on anyone. I mean, on Trump, I guess you could say, because that's he's the gorilla in the room. Even when you have the other candidate, it's still about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that based on these kinds of things, this is going to be a turnout election, which means you got to turn out your passionate base, which the Democrats do have, who basically are voting on abortion at this point. They don't care about Biden. They really don't like him. They don't think he's fit for office, according to polls also.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a passionate base for Trump that's roughly akin to the same numbers that are, you know, Biden just destroyed the Eastern Seaboard with a nuke. Oh, I'd still vote for him. Like, there is a contingency of people that would do that. And the same for Trump, too. Oh, he just went out and shot Melania on the street. Yeah, but you know what? She probably deserved it, so I'll still vote for him. You know, like, there are people who, and it's roughly 30%, who no matter what, even given evidence to the contrary that it's good for you or the country, they would vote for those people.
Well, they're voting for the D or the R.
They are, but in some sense, with Trump, they're really voting for Donald Trump. And I say that to say that this is going to be a turnout election, and that probably will benefit Republicans, because when you have the incumbent and nobody likes him, Trump also kind of an incumbent, but he has a little bit more passionate support than Biden does, and that probably bodes well for him if it's a passionless election.
I think that is a good analysis using conventional wisdom for how these things typically play out. But I think since Trump 2016, it's been conventional wisdom has gone out the window. And now you factor in with that the cheating. If it the scary thing is, if it is a turnout, Republicans are kind of screwed, because the Democrats have mastered the fake turnout. They know how to manufacture turnout that didn't really happen. And the Republicans aren't doing that, at least not as well. If they're trying, they suck at it.
We'll wrap there just because we're at a point where I think I said I was going to throw a bunch of things at you, and I threw one.
Yeah.
So we'll come back, and I'll throw a bunch of more.
Okay.
But you heard me talking about Arizona at the beginning of the show. I didn't mention this, though, and I don't know if you saw this, but there's a Democrat now running in a primary. I'd have to look up exactly where. And it's not a huge election, but he is a Democrat claiming election fraud, that other Democrats have been padding their votes against him in a primary. So this is intriguing because it's Democrats.
Yeah.
And we'll be watching that, too. I don't know if you've seen anything on that or not, or if I'm breaking that news to you right now.
Just broke it. I'm amazed.
Yeah. Well, it's like christening a ship with you. Not because you are a beautiful thing, but because you're big.
I'm large. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Stop there. Be right back. Olroy, back in studio to talk about more of these random things that I'm throwing at you.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting your initial take on. In Chicago. You used to live in Chicago, right?
I did.
Did you know that there are no nude beaches in Chicago?
I was aware, yes.
Is that unfortunate for you, or is that okay?
I don't know that I would frequent one if there was.
Would you frequent one as an observer?
It's a little creepy. I don't think so. I would probably get arrested.
Here's some illegal activity at a supposed nude beach in Chicago.
In Chicago?
Alderman Maria Haddon, 49th District of Chicago, said someone planted a fake sign at Loyola Beach in Rogers Park. Does that ring any bells? I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Famous place? Michigan?
Well, it's well known.
Okay. The sign claims the area is a nude beach. The sign looks completely real. Two rectangular signs with the Chicago Park District seal on them showed up on posts at Loyola Beach. They look like this. So that looks real.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that you would walk up and say, well, that's not a fake sign. It's got the seal of Chicago Parks on it. And it says, nude beach past this sign.
Nice.
That is, I would say, one of the better pranks I've seen in a while.
I'd say that's pretty clever.
Yeah. And if I saw it, I would remove all of my clothing immediately. Because I would just try to follow the rules. I don't want to break any rules.
No, that's fair. Yeah, you're a straight and narrow guy.
Except for my dash cam. I mean, body cam. I would still wear that.
Well, naturally. you'd want to keep that on.
Okay. Thanks for being a part of that.
Yeah.
More important stuff here. The wait is over. Rolling Stones will soon release new music, Roy. On Monday, the band announced that they're preparing to release their first album of original material in 18 years since 2005's A Bigger Bang. 18 years, and you go, oh, 2005, that's not that long ago. 18 years sounds like a lot. But they did have an album in 2005 called A Bigger Bang. This one's going to be called Hackney Diamonds. Are you a Rolling Stones fan? Do you care about this?
Not even remotely.
Welcome to the club.
I think they should have stopped probably 65 years ago.
I analyze my own thoughts on this subject for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Probably laying in bed one night thinking about the Rolling Stones for no reason. And I've never been a Stones fan. Got a couple songs I think are fine. I don't get why they're such a big deal. Other than the fact that they literally have been around for 100,000 years, literally.
Yeah.
And I gotta respect that. If you started your band in the 1960s and you're still on tour and making new music, at some point I gotta go, all right, maybe I'm just missing whatever everybody's so excited about here. That's fine. But I at least have to respect the fact that you're 80-something years old. I think maybe Mick Jagger just turned 80 or he's just over 80.
I'm pretty sure they're all in their 80s.
Roger Waters from Pink Floyd just turned 80 this week. That you know, they came along a little bit later as far as popularity goes. They started in the 60s too. But at some point, I got to say, kudos to you for still making new music and touring when you're literally, here's a tie-in for you, you are the same age as Joe Biden. Hmm. And that guy can't do anything. Yet Mick Jagger's up there roughly the same age, maybe within a year. And that dude's doing a duck walk around the stage and singing and making new music. It's impressive.
Well, I mean, you put anybody up against Biden, they're going to be impressive. I think that's the first thing. But I get your point. Their longevity is impressive. And I guess you have to respect it a little bit. We've talked about this before with different acts. I don't jump on bandwagons, and I think certain acts, and although maybe talented, maybe a bit overrated.
Sure, yeah. I always thought that about Prince.
Yeah, incredible.
Olroy, back in studio to talk about more of these random things that I'm throwing at you.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting your initial take on. In Chicago. You used to live in Chicago, right?
I did.
Did you know that there are no nude beaches in Chicago?
I was aware, yes.
Is that unfortunate for you, or is that okay?
I don't know that I would frequent one if there was.
Would you frequent one as an observer?
It's a little creepy. I don't think so. I would probably get arrested.
Here's some illegal activity at a supposed nude beach in Chicago.
In Chicago?
Alderman Maria Haddon, 49th District of Chicago, said someone planted a fake sign at Loyola Beach in Rogers Park. Does that ring any bells? I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Famous place? Michigan?
Well, it's well known.
Okay. The sign claims the area is a nude beach. The sign looks completely real. Two rectangular signs with the Chicago Park District seal on them showed up on posts at Loyola Beach. They look like this. So that looks real.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that you would walk up and say, well, that's not a fake sign. It's got the seal of Chicago Parks on it. And it says, nude beach past this sign.
Nice.
That is, I would say, one of the better pranks I've seen in a while.
I'd say that's pretty clever.
Yeah. And if I saw it, I would remove all of my clothing immediately. Because I would just try to follow the rules. I don't want to break any rules.
No, that's fair. Yeah, you're a straight and narrow guy.
Except for my dash cam. I mean, body cam. I would still wear that.
Well, naturally. you'd want to keep that on.
Okay. Thanks for being a part of that.
Yeah.
More important stuff here. The wait is over. Rolling Stones will soon release new music, Roy. On Monday, the band announced that they are preparing to release their first album of original material in 18 years since 2005's A Bigger Bang. 18 years, and you go, oh, 2005, that's not that long ago. 18 years sounds like a lot. But they did have an album in 2005 called A Bigger Bang. This one's going to be called Hackney Diamonds. Are you a Rolling Stones fan? Do you care about this?
Not even remotely.
Welcome to the club.
I think they should have stopped probably 65 years ago.
I analyze my own thoughts on this subject for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Probably laying in bed one night thinking about the Rolling Stones for no reason. And I've never been a Stones fan. Got a couple songs I think are fine. I don't get why they're such a big deal. Other than the fact that they literally have been around for 100,000 years, literally.
Yeah.
And I gotta respect that. If you started your band in the 1960s and you're still on tour and making new music, at some point I gotta go, all right, maybe I'm just missing whatever everybody's so excited about here. That's fine. But I at least have to respect the fact that you're 80-something years old. I think maybe Mick Jagger just turned 80 or he's just over 80.
I'm pretty sure they're all in their 80s.
Roger Waters from Pink Floyd just turned 80 this week. That you know, they came along a little bit later as far as popularity goes. They started in the 60s too. But at some point, I got to say, kudos to you for still making new music and touring when you're literally, here's a tie-in for you, you are the same age as Joe Biden. Hmm. And that guy can't do anything. Yet Mick Jagger's up there roughly the same age, maybe within a year. And that dude's doing a duck walk around the stage and singing and making new music. It's impressive.
Well, I mean, you put anybody up against Biden, they're going to be impressive. I think that's the first thing. But I get your point. Their longevity is impressive. And I guess you have to respect it a little bit. We've talked about this before with different acts. I don't jump on bandwagons, and I think certain acts, and although maybe talented, maybe a bit overrated.
Sure, yeah. I always thought that about Prince.
Yeah, incredibly talented musician, but his place in music history. Sure, he belongs there, but
it's inflated to me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think the Stones, I don't know, my take with them was always that they came in, they rode the coattails of the Beatles, but they were like the working man's Beatle.
Okay.
You know, they weren't as pretty, they weren't as flashy or good, mm-hmm. but they came in at the right time. Some of their songs have sort of been culturally iconic.
Yeah.
But I don't get I don't get it. I can't understand a word he says when he sings. The lyrics don't make any sense. I have to wonder, are they truly writing songs, or do they need the money and somebody's writing songs for them?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that Mick Jagger don't need money. That guy, these people are like modern day royalty. I think that's why people, half of them, want to be celebrities and actors and musicians, is because you are royalty now. I mean, who's it? John Mulvaney jokes that when he met Mick Jagger, and he was a writer for Saturday Night Live, he's a big name now, that the guy could just walk into a room and just go, Diet Coke, and one would appear. It's funny, but it's true, because that's the way we treat anybody of any sort of celebrity status. A, they have a lot of money, and B, they got tons of hangers-on.
Well, when I say need the money, I don't mean like he's panhandling. I mean, there's a lifestyle that some of these people create that costs money to maintain. So it's you see a lot of acts from the earlier generation. They didn't plan their future, a lot of them, very well. Most of them probably didn't think they'd be around this long. And so they lived a lifestyle that, let's just burn through it all because we're going to be gone in 10 years anyway. But I don't know. I could be completely wrong. That's just a guess, is that why would you at 80 years old
go, think they just like it.
I got tired of when I obviously was not as big as the Rolling Stones. I was close.
I would think so.
But when I played in bands, I got tired about 38 of dragging gear around and going and playing in front of people. I did it for, I don't know, 30 years probably total.
But I do have one thing to sort of push back on there.
Yeah.
I don't think the Rolling Stones are dragging equipment around.
Really?
I don't think that they're the ones setting up the shows. Uh-uh.
You think they got people to do that?
I do.
Man.
Yeah. So maybe that's the disconnect, is that you did have to do that, even though you were close to that status.
So I'm probably harboring some kind of secret grudge.
Ever since you were 38,
yes,
you stopped playing music because of that.
Yeah.
You should have gotten somebody to do that for you. You'd still be playing now. Stadiums.
Wow.
Yeah. Is there, before we
break, what could have been?
Is there anybody in that category for you that you're like, that artist is just over, not that you hate them, but they're just overrated? For me, it's Radiohead. And that's probably my generation too.
Yeah.
That I don't dislike them. I like some of their songs. I just never got it. I don't get why people freaked out over and got boners over them.
Justin Timberlake is one for me.
That's your generation, sure.
That's my generation. Yeah. No, I just think I don't understand why he's a singer. I know he was in NSYNC or whatever.
Yeah.
But I've never heard a song that he did that made any sense, musically or otherwise.
I gotta say, that's not who I was expecting you to say. We'll break. You can stick around. Come back next hour, please, if you will.
I will.
Okay. We'll be right back. Wiggins America, good weekend to you. So I'm going to promote an event. I don't normally do this, but this is an event worth promoting, partially because my friend and also one of the pastors of my church, David Seaton, is what's your title with Italian Fest?
I'm the chair of the committee for the Italian Fest.
Chair of the committee. Man, when you walk into a room, I bet people are like, whoa, the chair of the committee is here. At least the committee is thinking that.
I don't even have a special chair to sit in.
Really? You just have to stand?
Yeah.
With your gavel?
Yeah, a little bit.
So David Seaton is chair of the committee of the Italian Fest. And Italian Fest is one of my favorite events as a native of Collinsville, Illinois, partially because it has been around for a long time. I think probably about as long as I've existed on this earth.
This is the 40th year, right?
Well, yeah. Well, real close then. So yeah. I'm turning 42. And also because it is my birthday weekend. It's always my birthday weekend, September 16th. So next week will be doing a lot of birthday stuff with this show, and because it's the two-year anniversary of the show, which happened to also fall on my birthday, but so does the Italian Fest. And since the Italian Fest will already be going on, I thought, let's get you in here this week to promote it for next weekend, because by next weekend, half of it will already be done by the time we're talking. So
yeah.
You're here to talk about Italian Fest, which, if you're in the Metro East at all, definitely come next weekend to Italian Fest. What is a typical Italian Fest for somebody who's never been, David? And then what does maybe this year hold for people who are regulars?
Yeah, so the Italian Fest, Collinsville, I think, does really good at doing just Main Street festivals where
I agree.
The whole Main Street for about three blocks is just shut down. And the Italian Fest is by far the biggest one. We'll see 20,000 plus people throughout the weekend come through.
It's like the population of the city.
just about, yeah, really. And it comes from all over the whole Metro East and probably even from the whole St. Louis area. People who just want to eat great Italian food, have some drinks, hang out, and hear really good live music. So we've got that's the weekend. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. But there's also going to be some cool stuff. Like there's a awesome parade with lots of floats and classic cars coming through it. That's on Saturday.
What time?
That is going to be at.
Putting you on the spot.
Making sure I got 4 o'clock.
Okay, 4 o'clock.
Yep.
For the parade.
4 o'clock for the parade. We have a pizza eating contest on Saturday at 2:00. That was an old tradition that kind of fell to the wayside. And this year's theme for the Italian Fest is traditions run deep. And so we wanted to bring back some traditions from the old school Italian Fest. And so pizza eating contest.
Wait, when do you know like when it stopped?
I don't. I can't remember it. In my lifetime, but I mean, I literally just turned 40 yesterday, so me and the Italian Fest are like the same age.
And yeah,
so
me too.
I'm like, all right, well, when did they stop doing it? But at some point, there was one, and so this year, we're bringing it back. We've got a championship belt, like a wrestler would have. And so,
is it the original belt, or is this
no,
a new
no, no,
belt?
No. Okay. We had to get a cool one made, and so whoever wins will get their picture taken with this championship belt, and they'll get the name engraved on it, and then they're going to get a T-shirt for like 2023 pizza eating champion.
I always wonder with those kind of things, if there was like a movement, like a health movement in the early 2000s or something that said, oh, this is not okay now, that we're like, you know what, screw that.
If someone can cram a whole large cheese pizza down their throat in under six minutes, then I think they'll be okay.
I gotta ask you, because we're talking about the Italian Fest now, and you're the obviously the chair of the committee, so you would know the answers to these questions.
Possibly.
Is there a specific Italian style of pizza that the Italian Fest serves? Because I know there's a lot of really good, authentic Italian food there, but or is it just that pizza is Italian, therefore we're serving pizza?
So there's a couple different pizza vendors that are going to be there.
Okay.
So, and I would have to pull up that list to tell you exactly who they are. But we have a lot of great vendors, a lot of, like you said, authentic Italian food, mm-hmm. like bagnacotta and cannolis and toasted ravioli, which is more like a St. Louis Italian thing, but still like pretty Italian, especially for our area. But what we were looking for a sponsor to do the pizzas for the pizza eating contest, because it's limited to 10 people only, large cheese pizza. And we found a landscaping company, actually, to sponsor, who sells Italian brick oven pizza ovens for their...
They're a landscaping company that also makes ovens?
No, they don't make them. They do outside living spaces.
Okay,
and so they install these pizza ovens, and so they're sponsoring it. And they're going to bring this Italian pizza oven that they are like a dealer of, and they're going to make the pizzas right there in their wood fire pizza oven. It's called Cliff Landscaping out of Maryville, Illinois. And so...
So this is something... I mean, now I'm kind of fascinated by the idea. So this is something that in your backyard, if you're trying to make like a paradise backyard with a hot tub and a whatever, you could add a wood-fired pizza oven made by a landscaping company?
Well, they're made in Italy. They're called Alpha Pizza Ovens. And this landscaping company in Maryville, Illinois, Cliff Landscaping, they sell them and install them as they're designing outdoor living spaces.
That's super cool. It is. I can't believe that's something I've never seen at some rich person's house already.
I probably don't go to people's houses that are rich enough.
Well, we don't party like that. Yeah. Well, this will be the next trend, I promise.
Yeah.
Probably in my backyard if I can afford it. So anything else before we get to the bottom of the hour here, top of the hour?
The opening ceremony is at 11:30 on Friday, next Friday.
Okay.
And then that's followed by the tradition of the grape stomp. So there's a bunch of teams that are stomping grapes. And then from there, we've got some really good bands that evening on Friday night. We got Champagne Fix from 7 to 10 on one stage. And then on another stage, we got Dr. Chevegas. And then Saturday night, I'm really excited about this. From 8:30 to 10, we have Brady Seals. Brady Seals was the lead singer of the band Little Texas. And so he's got a different band now. And so Little Texas, they were the ones that had God Bless Texas, which is a number one hit. They had six other number one hits. And so they are a national act that's going to be like kind of.
You hinted that somebody big was coming this year. I didn't know who
it
was.
We really wanted to, like, it's the 40th anniversary. So we really wanted to kind of turn it up a notch and just provide the best entertainment that we could.
Well, my endorsement is for the Italian Fest. I've been going to it for my entire life. We'll be there next weekend, too. If you happen to see me out there, say hello and say that you listen to the show, and I would love to talk to you. But, yeah, it's a great event. Downtown Collinsville. If you've never been, I mean, if you've been to Collinsville, you know Italian Fest is, like, the big one. So come see us. But if you haven't been to Collinsville, say you're from Missouri and you want to make the trip, or you live in the Metro East somewhere else and never been to Collinsville, downtown Collinsville is a really nice place. That's why all of our events are there. And Italian Fest is like the coup de grace of all of them. It's the biggest one. So come out, be a part of any of this stuff, or just walk around and eat really good. Now, I got to say, Bagna Cauda is the way that all of Collinsville pronounces it. But my wife, who you know, is Italian. Okay. And she says, no, it's Bagna Calda. It means hot bath. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to defer to you on this.
That's where I would struggle, because if anything means hot bath, I don't know that I want to eat it.
Yeah, it's just bread dipped in, what is it? It's like a spicy olive oil type.
I'm not real sure.
Something.
There's a lot of stuff with the Italian Fest that there's three different ways to pronounce parts of it. Yeah. So.
But that's one of our favorite dishes that we get every year. So we're invited. It's next weekend. David, thanks for coming out here and being here this weekend.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And we'll see you there. And we will see you at the next, about 5 or 6 minutes from now as the hour restarts in Wiggins America. Stick around.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Wiggins America, good weekend to you. So I'm going to promote an event. I don't normally do this, but this is an event worth promoting, partially because my friend and also one of the pastors of my church, David Seaton, is what's your title with Italian Fest?
I'm the chair of the committee for the Italian Fest.
Chair of the committee. Man, when you walk into a room, I bet people are like, whoa. The chair of the committee is here. At least the committee is thinking that.
I don't even have a special chair to sit in. This.
Really? You just have to stand?
Yeah.
With your gavel?
Yeah, a little bit.
So David Seaton is chair of the committee of the Italian Fest. And Italian Fest is one of my favorite events as a native of Collinsville, Illinois. Partially because it has been around for a long time. I think probably about as long as I've existed on this earth.
This is the 40th year, right?
Well, yeah. Well, real close then. So I'm turning 42. And also because it is my birthday weekend. It's always my birthday weekend, September 16th. So next week we'll be doing a lot of birthday stuff with this show. And because it's the 2-year anniversary of the show, which happened to also fall on my birthday, but so does the Italian Fest. And since the Italian Fest will already be going on, I thought let's get you in here this week to promote it for next weekend, because by next weekend half of it will already be done by the time we're talking. So you're here to talk about Italian Fest, which if you're in the Metro East at all, definitely come next weekend to Italian Fest. What is a typical Italian Fest for somebody who's never been, David? And then what does maybe this year hold for people who are regulars?
Yeah, so the Italian Fest, Collinsville, I think, does really good at doing just Main Street festivals. Where
I agree.
The whole Main Street for about 3 blocks is just shut down. And the Italian Fest is by far the biggest one. We'll see 20,000-plus people throughout the weekend come through.
So the population of the city.
just about, yeah, really. And it comes from all over the whole Metro East and probably even from the whole St. Louis area, people who just want to eat great Italian food. have some drinks, hang out, and hear really good live music. So we've got that's the weekend. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. But there's also going to be some cool stuff. Like there's a awesome parade with lots of floats and classic cars coming through it. That's on Saturday.
What time?
That is going to be at.
Putting you on the spot.
Making sure I got 4 o'clock.
Okay, 4 o'clock.
Yep.
For the parade.
4 o'clock for the parade. We have a pizza eating contest on Saturday at 2:00. That was an old tradition that kind of fell to the wayside. And this year's theme for the Italian Fest is traditions run deep. And so we wanted to bring back some traditions from the old school Italian Fest. And so pizza eating contest.
Wait, when do you know like when it stopped?
I don't. I can't remember it. In my lifetime, but I mean, I literally just turned 40 yesterday, so me and the Italian Fest are like the same age.
And yeah, so me too.
I'm like, all right, well, when did they stop doing it? But at some point, there was one, and so this year we're bringing it back. We've got a championship belt like a wrestler would have. And so,
is it the original belt or is it
no,
a new
no, no,
belt?
No. Okay. We had to get a cool one made, and so whoever wins will get their picture taken with this championship belt and get the name engraved on it, and then they're going to get a T-shirt for like 2023 pizza eating.
I always wonder with those kind of things if there was like a movement, like a health movement in the early 2000s or something that said, oh, this is not okay now, that we're like, you know what, screw that.
If someone can cram a whole large cheese pizza down their throat in under six minutes, then I think they'll be okay.
I gotta ask you, because we're talking about the Italian Fest now, and you're obviously the chair of the committee, so you would know the answers to these questions.
Possibly.
Is there a specific Italian style of pizza that the Italian Fest serves? Because I know there's a lot of really good, authentic Italian food there, but or is it just that pizza is Italian, therefore we're serving pizza?
So there's a couple different pizza vendors that are going to be there.
Okay.
So, and I would have to pull up that list to tell you exactly who they are. But we have a lot of great vendors, a lot of, like you said, authentic Italian food, mm-hmm. like bagnacotta and cannolis and toasted ravioli, which is more like a St. Louis Italian thing, but still like pretty Italian, especially for our area. But what we were looking for a sponsor to do the pizzas for the pizza eating contest, because it's limited to 10 people only, large cheese pizza. And we found a landscaping company, actually, to sponsor, who sells Italian brick oven pizza ovens for their...
They're a landscaping company that also makes ovens?
No, they don't make them. They do outside living spaces.
Okay,
and so they install these pizza ovens, and so they're sponsoring it. And they're going to bring this Italian pizza oven that they are like a dealer of, and they're going to make the pizzas right there in their wood fire pizza oven. It's called Cliff Landscaping out of Maryville, Illinois. And so...
So this is something... I mean, now I'm kind of fascinated by the idea. So this is something that in your backyard, if you're trying to make like a paradise backyard with a hot tub and a whatever, you could add a wood-fired pizza oven made by a landscaping company?
Well, they're made in Italy. They're called Alpha Pizza Ovens. And this landscaping company in Maryville, Illinois, Cliff Landscaping, they sell them and install them as they're designing outdoor living spaces.
That's super cool.
It is.
I can't believe that's something I've never seen at some rich person's house already.
I probably don't go to people's houses
that
are rich
enough.
Well, we
don't party like that. Yeah. Well, this will be the next trend, I promise.
Yeah.
Probably in my backyard if I can afford it. So anything else before we get to the bottom of the hour here, top of the hour?
The opening ceremony is at 11:30 on Friday, next Friday.
Okay.
And then that's followed by the tradition of the grape stomp. So there's a bunch of teams that are stomping grapes. And then from there, we've got some really good bands that evening on Friday night. We got Champagne Fix from 7 to 10 on one stage. And then on another stage, we got Dr. Chevegas. And then Saturday night, I'm really excited about this. From 8:30 to 10, we have Brady Seals. Brady Seals was the lead singer of the band Little Texas. And so he's got a different band now. And so Little Texas, they were the ones that had God Bless Texas, which is a number one hit. They had 6 other number one hits. And so they are a national act that's going to be like kind of...
You had hinted that somebody big was coming this year. I didn't know who
it
was.
We really wanted to, like, it's the 40th anniversary. So we really wanted to kind of turn it up a notch and just provide the best entertainment that we could.
Well, my endorsement is for the Italian Fest. I've been going to it for my entire life. We'll be there next weekend, too. If you happen to see me out there, say hello and say that you listen to the show, and I would love to talk to you. But, yeah, it's a great event. Downtown Collinsville. If you've never been, I mean, if you've been to Collinsville, you know Italian Fest is, like, the big one. So come see us. But if you haven't been to Collinsville, say you're from Missouri and you want to make the trip, or you live in the Metro East somewhere else and never been to Collinsville, downtown Collinsville is a really nice place. That's why all of our events are there. And Italian Fest is like the coup de grace of all of them. It's the biggest one. So come out and be a part of any of this stuff, or just walk around and eat really good. Now, I got to say, Bagna Cauda is the way that all of Collinsville pronounces it. But my wife, who you know, is Italian. Okay. And she says, no, it's Bagna Cauda. It means hot bath. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to defer to you on this.
That's so, where I would struggle, because if anything means hot bath, I don't know that I want to eat it.
Yeah, it's just bread dipped in, what is it? It's like a spicy olive oil type.
I'm not real sure.
Something.
There's a lot of stuff with the Italian Fest that there's three different ways to pronounce parts of it. Yeah. So.
But that's one of our favorite dishes that we get every year. So we're invited. It's next weekend. David, thanks for coming out here and being here this weekend.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And we'll see you there. And we will see you at the next, about 5 or 6 minutes from now as the hour restarts in Wiggins America. Stick around.
Get more at 971talk.com.